tree bowl. I throw it at him. It bounces to the floor. My books. He swears again. The door is locked. The door is locked. He grabs me, pulls me away from the door, one hand over my mouth, one hand around my throat. He leans me against the sink. My fists mean nothing to him, little rabbit paws thumping harmlessly. His body crushes me. My fingers wave overhead, looking for a branch, a limb, something to hang on to, a block of wood. The base of my turkey bone sculpture, I slam it against Maya's poster. I hear a crunch. It doesn't hear. It breathes like a dragon. Its hand leaves my throat, attacks my body. I hit the wood against the poster and the mirror under it again. Shards of glass slip down the wall and into the sink. It pulls away from me, puzzled. I reach in and wrap my fingers around a triangle of glass. I hold it to Andy Evans's neck. He freezes. I push just hard enough to raise one drop of blood. He raises his arms over his head. My hand quivers. I want to insert the glass all the way through his throat. I want to hear him scream. I look up. I see the stubble on his chin, a fleck of white in the corner of his mouth. His lips are paralyzed. He cannot speak. That's good enough. Me. I said no. He nods. Someone is pounding on the door. I unlock it and the door swings open. Nicole is there, along with the lacrosse team, sweaty, angry, their sticks held high. Someone peels off and runs for help.
The first time that Andy attacked Melinda, she wasn't able to say anything at all. Andy says that she didn't yell because she wanted it to happen. But we know that's a terrible lie. Melinda didn't say anything because she was absolutely terrified and couldn't make a sound. Remember how she described herself as a bunny rabbit and Andy as a predator? Andy definitely took advantage of her silence that time. But this time, Melinda has found her voice and she is able to yell for help, and that saves her. Let's continue at the top of page 196.